All right, let's get her going on the National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We're live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Emily Kaplan from ESPN. Does a terrific job covering the National Hockey League south of the border. She's been on the show before. We're looking forward to catching up with her and getting all the goods still coming out of Vancouver.
Yep.
Tough night for them against the Buffalo Sabres. Tough night for McDavid-less Edmonton Oilers.
Good
in
hockey
Washington.
Game. Good hockey game.
Against the Capitals. So yeah. What is the latest, guys, that we're hearing out of Vancouver?
I'm following my guy Taj here on Twitter, and he just said that that apparently talk it just ripped the players in the scrum, and that should be posted fairly soon. Just saying that seems a little frustrated with the players. Talk it's starting to boil over a little bit. Maybe we'll have to have a listen at commercial and see if we can find some of that audio. But fascinating stuff. I know you can.
How could you not be?
Yeah,
if you're him.
Well, yeah.
Blew a lead against the Buffalo Sabres.
Where your kids are fighting all the time. Yeah, not pretty.
Yeah, not pretty. And Demko doesn't look like Demko.
Patterson scored. That's all I know.
Lots of reports coming in the last 24, 48 hours. Of course, Elliott kind of opened it up Saturday night with the thought that the Rangers and the Vancouver Canucks were closing in on some type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Cervelli from dailyfaceoff.com also reporting that the holdup may have been over withholding money off of Miller, that maybe perhaps the New York Rangers do not want to pick up the whole 5 years left on his deal.
It's one thing to trade a good player. It's another thing to retain on a good player.
Points in 9 straight for the Rangers, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're back in.
They're right there.
Right?
They're knocking on the door.
So,
yeah, I mean, they were never dead to me, but.
I think the foregone conclusion here for the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll wait to get Emily Kaplan's thoughts as well, is that hey, Vancouver Canuck fans, you're not going to be happy when this thing eventually happens.
Yeah.
That there is no deal out there that will, I think, satisfy you, because the piece is still out of New York seem to be revolved around Hedl.
Right.
And Ryan Lindgren and maybe a first-round pick.
Hedl's a good player.
Fine, but they're trying to win now, the Rangers, and Hedl is not JT Miller,
no,
obviously.
Correct.
You know, looking at their team with Panarin and Trocheck and Lafreniere and Cooley and Zibanejad, you go through the list, Fox, and like they have lots of good players. The Rangers are in a soft conference. They could very well add Miller and be good. So you're not going to get a guy who's good this year. You're not going to get a guy that goes, okay, we got rid of Miller, but this guy's going to be, you know, make us better. You're going to get whatever, you know, 3 quarters for on the dollar and off you go.
Okay, let's welcome in Emily Kaplan from ESPN, hockey reporter. Emily, thanks for joining us. You're as busy as ever as well. We had Jody Shelley on in our first hour Leaf edition, and you equally as busy. I caught your intermission the other day on ESPN, and of course, everybody's talking, including yourself, on JT Miller. What's the latest you have heard, and when do you expect something to happen potentially?
Oh, well, firstly, great to see you guys, and thanks for having me on. This is the story that everyone is talking about, and obviously everyone in Vancouver is always talking about it, but it seems like it's trickled down here in the States because it's a big one. Clearly, what I've learned, and I think it's what everyone knows, is that Vancouver management has come to a decision that the chemistry is just off in their locker room, and they've got to do something about it. And they have communicated with JT Miller, and he knows that a trade is possible, if not likely, before the March 7th trade deadline. But it's a really difficult trade to get done. You know, we know that the Rangers have been involved. This is a player they really covet. Everything I hear about what Chris Drury wants to do to reshape his team, he's looking for a different identity, like meat and potatoes is a term I heard a lot, jam and grit. Like, the reason that there's all those, like, Brady Tkachuk tampering rumors is because his name is brought up as just a style of player that they want, and he's such a unicorn, but JT Miller obviously fits that. But it's a difficult deal, and so they're talking to other teams. I do believe the Carolina Hurricanes are involved, the New Jersey Devils. We know, you know, their name has popped up, but it's a difficult one because think of it, JT's got this no-movement clause. He's got a big salary. If you look at the New Jersey Devils, yeah, of course they would love center depth, and of course they'd love JT Miller, but who are you moving out? And a lot of their guys have no movement clauses. So I'm not sure anyone is really close at this moment. This is a deal that typically would get done over the summer, but because Vancouver's so motivated, it should get done before March 7th, but when, I have no idea.
So if we had had you on the show before Christmas, we'd be talking about the New York Rangers being a complete tire fire. Everything's a mess. Blow it all up. What's going on here? It kind of founded a little bit here. Which version of the Rangers is the real Rangers?
Probably somewhere a little in the middle or tilted towards what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
You know, they're a team that I cover a ton. I have a lot of their games on national television, and we had a bunch of those games where they were in that crisis of confidence, and you're like, oh my goodness, they're just writing off this year. It's a lost year. You trade away your captain, you piss off the locker room, everyone's factioned of the way that you're doing business, and they've been able to stabilize. And I think a large part of that is because they have one of the best goaltenders in the world, Igor Shesterkin, and there's a bunch of that guys on that roster that can play. And we've seen it in the last couple of playoff runs. Clearly management, though, is just looking for a different DNA that they think that this core group might not have what it takes to get over the hump. And that's why they're looking for different type of players, looking to get younger, looking to get grittier. And I think that has affected the guys in the locker room. But I think at this moment, you got to give credit to this coaching staff, because Peter Laviolette and his coaches at some point are probably just like, why the hell is this happening? Why is this happening to us? And now the fact that the guys have all bought in, it's like, okay, they can get going here. But, you know, in the back of all these guys' mind, their names keep coming up in the trade rumors, rightfully so, because I don't think Chris Drury's done.
You're watching and listening to Emily Kaplan from ESPN covering the National Hockey League. So if not the Rangers for JT Miller, we've heard Carolina, we've heard New Jersey. How much do you think they're legitimately in on this?
Yeah, New Jersey, I checked in with them again today, and it was more of like a, of course, like, I think we're making calls, and, you know, we know Fitzgerald and Patrick Elvin have known each other for years. They work together in the Penguins staff that won a Stanley Cup, but, like, does this really make sense for New Jersey right now, or are they able to do it right now? Are they able to move around that salary and no movement clauses? And I don't think so. Carolina is a team that's really intriguing to me. I actually caught up with Eric Tolsky, their GM, this week, and I asked him, I was like, you know, with everything that went down last year with Jake Gensel, you guys went against your typical mold. You gave up a lot for a rental. It didn't work out in the playoffs, and you weren't able to re-sign him. Did that shape anything that you guys were trying to do at this year's deadline? And he basically was like, no, we're still always looking for these big swings as long as that we find it at a price that we think makes sense. So if they're able to come up with a package that makes sense to the Vancouver Canucks, I think they're in it as much as anybody is.
Just one point on an attractive name out of Carolina would be Martin Nakesh. And is there any chance at all you can see that happening, or are they going to be stuck with maybe a Kotkaniemi?
I think that's a front office that's really open to anything. I don't want to say like they don't have any star players on that team, because I do think that's disrespectful. But, you know, Jacob Slavin's an incredible defenseman. We know what Sebastian Aho can do, but it really feels like so many players on that team that they'd be okay moving as long as they got a serious upgrade. And for what JT Miller, a player like that, can provide, he's a serious upgrade over so many guys that they have. So I would just say that's a team that's always looking to get in the mix. Maybe Martin Nechas, who's kind of cooled off after that really hot start, could be a name that they consider. But we shall see.
You good on that topic?
Yep, ma'am.
I want to ask you about the Edmonton Oilers.
Wait, you don't want 10 more questions on JT Miller?
We could do it. The next hot topic in Canada here is the league had the audacity to suspend Connor McDavid. The team put out a statement saying that they support Connor, which was really profound, I thought, that they are standing by their guy who cross-checked someone else. What were your thoughts on this and how this has played out? I know Oilers fans are pretty upset.
Yeah, that's probably an understatement, Justin. You're getting pretty good at euphemisms in this job. I think that there's like two separate conversations to go on here. One is about the way the game is officiated, and the other is about the Department of Player Safety and really their system of checks and balances. I was absolutely shocked when I heard this stat the other day that about a third of NHL suspensions result from a play that was uncalled on the ice. Like, that really shows that these are two separate entities going on. But to me, when I saw this play in its entirety, I'm like, this is a culmination of frustration from Connor McDavid of just not getting calls this season. We know since he's entered the league, since 2016, he leads the leagues in drawn penalties, rightfully so, right? He's always got the puck. Guys can't catch him. But this year, his rates are really down, and we've seen so many instances. Like, just a week earlier, Adrian Kempe slew-foots him, not called in the game, but then Department of Player Safety does everything they can, which is a $5,000 fine. So I think Connor, in this moment, was super frustrated because there's many uncalled penalties on Connor Garland before this happens. All that said, it is indefensible ever to cross-check an opponent in the head. Like, that's not cool. 3 games was probably a little harsh. I thought it would be 2. When I first saw 3, I was like, okay, maybe this just covers the rematch. But the fact that the rematch was in 2, I think maybe you could have landed there. But Connor's going to move on. And any notion that like he's not going to participate in league events and promote the league because he's pissed off by this, I don't think that's true. Knowing Connor, he cares about winning a Stanley Cup first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes, there's 2 things he cares about. It's promoting star players better and international hockey. And so we're coming up in the Four Nations tournament. Like, to think that he's not going to go up there and give press conferences for Team Canada and promote this event for the NHL, I think that's absolutely ludicrous.
Is there anything that in conversation south of the border about what the NFL was able to do with protecting their quarterbacks, and if hockey can ever do anything to kind of work around the edges on that, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think those are definitely conversations that we have down here, especially because we see the way that those leagues have grown. Like, the NBA didn't become what it is until these star players became entities of themselves. Like, before Michael Jordan, like, became the thing that dragged along the Chicago Bulls, and then the TV deals and endorsement deals all followed or surrounding it. The NFL didn't come what it is until we all of a sudden have quarterbacks that are not just stars, but like celebrities here in the US. They're A-list celebrities. So you see the way that Patrick Mahomes get calls. And I know that a lot of the hockey players are like, okay, well, why aren't we doing that to our star players? Me personally, like, I'm a huge fan of football. I cut my teeth covering football. I covered the NFL. I've noticed myself, like, watching NFL games on my couch this winter, I'm like, the game's almost unwatchable with just how many flags are thrown. Like, every single play seems like a flag. And I think in hockey, there's always been this code of just let them play, especially with this situation with Connor McDavid. If you think of the refs on the ice, it's Wes McCauley. That's what he's notorious for. And I think there's got to be some kind of balance where we have to do a better job of protecting them, because we are putting these star players in unsafe situations and we want to see them on the ice. Like, we want to see them doing their thing. But I don't think we need to over-index, because the way that they protect and coddle them in the NBA and the NFL, that's not what hockey is about.
So we've been, I would agree with that. We've been kicking around potential teams, you know, that are going to be interesting leading up to the trade deadline. One of the names that I had brought up earlier was Trent Frederick. Charlie Coyle's on some trade lists. But the Boston Bruins are still the Boston Bruins, and they have superstars, and they're in the mix. What do you think about where they're at and what they're going to do over the coming 6 weeks?
I think they're at a serious crossroads. I think this management group seems to have supportive ownership still, no matter what happens this season, at least through the season. I think it is going to be Don Sweeney and Cam Neely running the show. And you hear them spoke last week of saying, like, we have 2 paths we can go down. The one path that we've been doing the last couple of years, but that hasn't resulted in a Stanley Cup, and it results with a so-so record this year where we had to fire a really good coach. Or we're going to have to think about retooling. And I think from what I'm hearing, and the fact that so many teams do believe that Trent Frederick is going to be available, they're not going to come to agreement on a long-term contract, and maybe some other names there, that a retool is the way they need to go and will probably go. They need to get younger. I said this on the broadcast when we had them, I don't know, a week or two ago, but another director of amateur scouting told me that Boston has the worst prospect pool in the entire NHL. You know, he was like, there's no one really knocking on the door in Providence. They call Matt Patra up. He looks okay, but really nobody else there. They've whiffed on so many first-round picks. Their first-round pick from this past year is going to be a project. He's not really lighting it up in BC right now. He's a big guy. He's going to be a late developer. And I think they just need to restock their prospect pool and get much younger in order to make this not a full teardown, which they clearly don't want to do because they've got Jeremy Swayman and David Pasternak, Charlie McAvoy, like all these great players. But you got to do something to make this a little better and a little smoother. Maybe look at like what the Washington Capitals did, where all of a sudden they started targeting a bunch of guys in their early mid-20s. And lo and behold, you don't have to do the full teardown.
Emily, we're a few weeks away from the Four Nations face-off. And I'm sure you're going to be busy as heck as well throughout that tournament. Just the overall feel again south of the border. We're starting to see a little bit of a domination at the world junior level from USA Hockey. Oh, my poor Sammy here. He's just a mess. Emily, he's a mess.
Stop that.
I'm glad he's off camera. I don't want to see what that looks like. Sorry, Sam.
Just the overall buzz down there in terms of, you know, there is some talk about maybe ticket sales being a little slower than they'd like. But overall, where do you see the momentum coming in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think the ticket sales are a little slower than they like because some of these matches are just going to be hard to sell in those two markets, right? And especially, you know, we don't know who's going to be in the final. I think that if it's USA-Canada, the buzz is going to be absolutely outrageous. I expect these to be full arenas, though. Like, this is going to be really cool. People in the U.S. are starting to get excited because I think they're starting to realize what it means. Like the fact that we've never seen Austin Matthews or either Tkachuk brother on the stage. The fact that we have such good goaltenders, such better goaltenders seemingly than your country in Canada or maybe the other two nations, and that could win us the tournament. So I think there's starting to be this tangible feel of like, okay, cool, we could see something really good here in momentum, but I don't expect here in the U.S., I mean, like, if I have to be completely frank, we're still in NFL in our general sports landscape. College football got their day to shine. It was NFL after that. So once the Super Bowl is over and once we can turn our full attention to this, I think it's really going to amp up and be exciting.
It is not a coincidence that they plan this tournament, like, starting 2 days after the Super Bowl, I imagine, Emily.
No. NHL does something well.
Yeah, they got a good planner for sure. We had Bettman on last week, and one of the questions I asked him was just about Utah and about the name of the team and kind of what we're waiting for. What's the holdup? Sounds like it's tough to get a name that people haven't picked already and don't have rights to. Hey.
Yeah. No, it's shocking, and obviously, Yeti, like, it leaked out. Clayton Keller came to the media tour, and that kid never says anything controversial. Like, he's such a hockey player, and he just starts, like, referring to them as the Yetis. And I'm like, Clayton, like, really? Did you go there? So I think everyone had the assumption that that was going to be it. And then we find out about legal battles that go on behind the scenes. And sometimes it's juicy, and sometimes it's really boring. But it seems like this has dragged on longer than anyone would have liked. Maybe not for the Utah Hockey Club, because they can sell a bunch more merch and maybe extend this and just sell then another wave of merch, but I think by this point we're ready for them to be like fully legitimate. Like, it's cool they're there, but let's treat them like a real team and not a temporary one.
Emily, if we're going to talk about Utah, we got to talk a little bit about maybe expansion opportunities south of the border. And the world's completely changed, where I think Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, they just sit with their feet up on their desk and they wait for applications. What market grabs your attention? Because we've have heard Atlanta coming back in and Houston. But in your opinion, over the last few years, where do you see this thing going?
I mean, it does seem inevitable, right? Just because we know that Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and the entire league, they listen to their owners, and their owners really like money. And they like the checks that have been coming in and see the valuations and know that they could be getting even more. So I think we'd all be ignorant to say that this is not a real possibility. Where is the really big question? I think here, especially in the U.S., there's a lot of skepticism about Atlanta, saying like, okay, if you did it twice, like, why is it going to work out this time? It seems like these ownership groups have a good plan, maybe not doing some of the mistakes that they did last. I think Atlanta has changed a lot as a city. It's grown. But I'm just, I'm feeling like there's a lot of momentum there, but I too would like to see it to believe it and know that it will be different this time. And then Houston is another one that just really captivates me. And just the way that Dallas has built such a good hockey market, and it took time, but there's so many learn to play and youth hockey programs going on there. When I go to games there, it's amongst the loudest arenas, and they're passionate and knowledgeable hockey fans. And just the sheer size of Houston, the fact that it's very Hispanic, the proximity to Mexico. I know there's so many teams now saying like, hey, why don't we do that preseason game in Australia 2 years ago? Can we do Mexico City? Like, that's way more feasible growing our audience here in North America. So that's a city that I'd be really curious about as well.
Emily, the race for the final playoff spot in the East is absolute mayhem. For all my time covering hockey, I can't remember it looking like this with so many teams in it. Ottawa, Montreal, Boston, Columbus, the Rangers, Flyers, Penguins, Red Wings, Islanders. Who you got?
Yeah, I know. It feels like everyone I've talked to in the last 2 weeks just feels like the Rangers will get one of those spots because of who they are, from coming into form. And yeah, there's probably more changes before they settle out, but I'm thinking it's going to be them. I really want to believe in Detroit. It's a really important market here in the U.S. When the Red Wings are good, it matters. There's energy. It's hockey town. I had one of their games when they're on that win streak with Todd McClellan, or, you know, it was right afterwards. And I'm like, holy cow, like, they figured it out. I think it's still some bumps in the road. You know, I think that this is still a group that probably needs something, but that's kind of the team that I'm rooting for. But I look at Ottawa and Montreal and I'm like, they're no longer easy outs, and both of them have so much juice and energy that I have a really hard time handicapping who's going to finally secure that spot. But it does feel like I've been able to at least eliminate some teams. Like, I don't think the Islanders are getting there, and unfortunately for the Sabres, you got next year.
Yeah.
I take it it's a rare night off for you. Where are you headed next?
It's actually like a week and a half off. I was in Connecticut yesterday, here in Chicago, chilling. Please don't tell my bosses that I'm relaxing too much. But we got back-to-back weekends in Boston before the Four Nations, so I'm excited for that.
And in Chicago, better
warm and balmy,
and better for Bedard these days too, right?
Yeah. You know, like, I talked to so many people in that organization, and they get really frustrated, you know, and I don't want to blame Canadian media, but obviously, like, they're concerned about, you know, their prodigal son, and like, what are you guys doing to him? Are you ruining him? Like, he just looks so pissed off and angry. And everyone in Chicago is like, that's not what's going on here. Like, he's so in tune to what we're doing. Our prospect pool is amazing. He's super invested. He's dialed into the plan. And like, do you want him to be okay with losing? Like, remember Connor McDavid his first couple years, Nate McKinnon when they were going through it? Like, it would be weird if he wasn't pissed off. So I think Connor's going to be okay as long as their prospects are all as good as they think they are. And from what I've seen of what, you know, they've been able to produce at some of these younger or different levels, like, they should have a good wave coming in that's going to be able to grow with them.
Excellent stuff, Emily. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
I appreciate it. And I'm going to go clean my computer. I'm a little blurry here. I got to figure out what's going on.
Thanks, Emily. Appreciate it.
Chat.
That is Emily Kaplan, who does a terrific job reporting for the National Hockey League on ESPN.
Mm-hmm. The Devils would be interesting for JT Miller, wouldn't he? Wouldn't they?
Yeah, you've been talking about that for a while.
Why? You just, anything come through? What are you reading? What are you looking at?
I remember you wrote that 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's kind of been out there ever since that.
But I think they need something. I've not been impressed with them the last little while, and
I think they've won 2 of their last 11, boys.
Listen,
or 2 of their last 9, one or the other.
This was a team a lot of people had very high before the season started in terms of being a team that will legitimately contend in the East.
I remember us doing the Bet 365 segments in the first, like, our first week when I was doing some look-ahead stuff, and I'm pretty sure at one point they were the odds-on favorite before any games were played, but they might have been like the favorite to win the cup. Sheldon Keefe was the favorite for Jack Adams. Like, they were really, really, really up there.
Which is crazy, because last year the Devils had 81 points in 82 games. They were really not very good. So,
and a lot of that came down to not having a goalie, and the goaltending killed them a lot, so they got injuries. Jacob Markstrom, so people thought they were maybe getting on the right track, but I don't know.
They're on a totally different pace now, on pace for, you know, more like 100 points. So that would be a pretty good jump.
Game time?
Game time.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Some good games on the ice tonight, including the one on Sportsnet, Leafs and Columbus. Leafs, big faves on home ice, minus 205 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Seems like a scary number with Dennis Hill to be in net. I don't know. I think some goals could enter the net tonight. Neither team having very great goaltending. I think we were talking about them being the second worst team save percentage in the league, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Dennis Hill to be in net tonight. The total reflects that. It's at 6.5, but I'd be willing to go over on that total. At 6.5.
Yeah, but what's a
paper? -110 on both sides. Yeah. So I think there's definitely value in that. Winnipeg in Colorado. Excellent game tonight. Winnipeg is slight underdog, plus 100 on the road to take on the Avs. Big Central Division tilt. And later on, Florida in LA to take on the Kings. LA scuffling a little bit recently. I think they're 1-4 in their last five games. Florida just got a big win over the Anaheim Ducks last night. Sam Bennett's first goal since before the day before the Team Canada was named. And so
you,
good for him.
And you cut him off Team Canada.
I didn't cut him
last week.
You said he's
no good.
Do we have, maybe we won't do this in game time, but maybe have a time for, you know, reflections on Team Canada's choosing. But this Logan Thompson thing's horrifying.
Yeah, the Logan Thompson thing. Let's do that after the break, because I do feel like
that. And the last game tonight is Boston in New Jersey to take on the Devils we were just talking about. New Jersey, huge favorites on home ice, minus 220. Pretty good value there with the Boston Bruins. They're not great, but plus 180 in the
plus
Devils.
Take the Bruins.
Devils aren't playing great. So anyways, that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 18 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, catch our breath, and as Sammy and JB just mentioned, we'll get into Logan Thompson, and I don't know if it was a shot to Team Canada, but clearly he's not too happy right now. We'll get into what we saw out of the Edmonton Oilers being McDavid-less last night. Mm-hmm. And the Washington Capitals were directly involved with that win last night against the Oilers. What are the chances of this team continuing to be a top team in the Eastern Conference? That, when we return, and more to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
A reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right. Where do you want to start? You want to start? We got Rick Tocchet sound from today, which is quite interesting.
Let's start with the Oilers.
The Edmonton Oilers. No McDavid last night, a loss. But prior to that, you did not like the team's press release. And I'm excited to hear why.
Embarrassing. This is embarrassing.
Well,
are they going to wear some?
That's a strong word.
Are they going to wear jerseys that say Connor Strong on them in the warm up? Guy cross checked the guy in the mouth.
Right. The Oilers organization is disappointed, and we share in our fans' frustration over the 3-game suspension of our captain, Connor McDavid. We support him through this process, and the organization and our fans look forward to having him back in the lineup next week.
It really is embarrassing.
Did we need that? Did we need to know that they support McDavid?
Can I defend them a little bit here?
Please.
Okay?
Please, God.
This is not an average suspension. This is against the best hockey player in the world. So here you are on an off day, and you got everybody calling for a reaction. Everybody, like local or nationally. Then you got people screaming, when's McDavid going to talk? And they don't make him available. And they're just clamoring for something. So, I don't know, put an obvious press release together and just send it out there.
No one was clamoring for anything. Everyone knows where the team stands.
No,
they don't want their captain suspended.
They were asking for responses. They were asking for interviews. They were asking for something.
I don't know who this they is.
Media.
I knew that the Oilers... I also think it's hilarious to put out a statement saying, we support the guy who did the cross-checking in the face, else? But nothing for Evan Bouchard, who wore one in the lips.
It's a dumb league.
Well, he's not signed long-term.
He literally skated up to a guy, wore one in the face, the game ended, but and the team put out a statement that said, we support the guy who did the cross-checking. Well,
let's play a
He took one for the team.
Let's play a really fun game called, what would happen if the Leafs did this? Can you imagine how much you would be making fun of them? All Leafs of the media would
Austin
be making
Matthews
fun of
them.
Oh, my God.
If Canada.
If it was Matthews, if it was any other top player.
You would bury them. You would
There's
absolutely
no news in the
bury
release.
Them.
It just says we're on his side.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not. It's just, come on.
It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. Sorry it is.
Anyway.
It's the greatest player in our generation right now.
Who didn't, you know, like.
It ain't Nick Kypreos running over Grant Fuhr.
He's
okay.
Yeah, best player in the league. Best player in the world.
Best player in the world.
He's coming back.
Put a statement out
next week
regarding
he's not
the best
like,
player in the world.
He didn't lose a hand. He's playing hockey next week. Like
he's not.
But he don't
major
treat
surgery.
You don't treat him like any
jail.
Other suspension. You just don't treat it like any other suspension. Is my point. It's okay. Connor McDavid.
I mean, crush it, the guy. In the
mouth. This is cross.
All right, we have McDavid on this. By the way,
all right, let's hear it.
And for the record. To run the tape back on yesterday, I thought two or one games was the right amount for
two.
McDavid.
I thought it was two.
Yeah,
we thought it was two.
So
two
this
for
is
sure.
You know, not a hockey play.
I don't think it's a three-game suspension either. I just think it's a ridiculous overreaction. He'll be back in a few days. McDavid.
Clip, yeah.
How do I see that? I mean, I'm just trying to tie the game. I'm not really looking to engage with him. Obviously, there's lots of holding and holding down, he holds my head down for a little bit and stuff like that, but I can't have that reaction. Obviously I know that, everyone knows that, not the reaction that I'm proud of or that anyone wants to see out of me, and I understand that. And that being said, obviously there's lots of infractions going on there. Maybe the whole thing's avoided with a blow of the whistle or something like that. So, but again,
true.
I can't have that reaction.
Okay, this is where I disagree with him.
Hold on, let me guess what part. You are proud of him.
Be proud of him.
I knew
be
it.
Be proud.
I'm proud
be
too.
Be proud.
Yeah.
Yes. Be like, yeah.
Don't
you,
sit on me in the final 30 seconds or I'll cross-check you in the face.
You want to maul me?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's been going on for generations and decades, and I am now part of that group.
You once played with a guy named Mark Messier. Mark Messier got a lot of points. Very good offensive player.
And he knocked a lot of teeth out.
He was fairly well known for taking a whole bunch of BS.
A zero.
My Instagram.
I'm proud of or that.
My Instagram algorithm somehow has become all Messier.
It just shows
shots.
You Messier.
It's amazing.
Being a criminal.
He's just hammered, guys.
Yeah.
Elbows aplenty. And listen.
And people knew when Mark was on the ice.
Yep.
And they treated him with respect.
It's not like you can turn these guys into that.
No one wants it.
But you
McDavid
can
Messier.
Have a moment like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It's like, it's okay. The reaction's okay. Two games, three games, who cares? Really, at the end of the day, where Connor is right now in his career and in his world,
mm-hmm.
who cares? 3-2.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Totally. They're a great team. It doesn't change their season any.
Right?
Yeah.
And hopefully someone's paying attention that goes,
And so if this is the team, the statement is the team pandering to the fans, why shouldn't they? It's their fans, it's their player. I get it.
And is there one player that would think about, I could get a cross check again if I hold on to him a little too tight?
Could help him out.
Maybe there's that one guy, but.
And for everyone in their car in Vancouver listening to this, does everyone just ignore the fact that he lied on Connor Garland for 2 minutes before?
I think his stick was caught under Garland.
I mean, he's lying on top of him.
Yeah,
he's engaged with him before
the stick is under Garland. He can't get it free.
Is it like
you think he would have? He could have.
Everyone's
that's a dumb.
Everyone's
point.
Acting like Mr. oh, Mr. Innocent, Mr. This, like, he start, like, it was a two-way street. They were fighting, they were battling, and then the Edmonton Oilers were like, they were.
That's not right.
No two-way street.
No.
Two-way street.
Garland is doing everything he can to
drag
them, yeah.
But he was,
by the way, if I'm a Vancouver Canuck, I'm liking Garland, too.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's exactly what you want Garland to do.
For
I
got to
tell you, like, Garland's high on my list of guys I would have on my team.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hockey player to me. I love, you know, he really thinks it well. High hockey IQ.
What's he?
That turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
The helmet's too big. It's all foggy. You just want to punch him in the face every shift.
Yep.
What's
every
he
shift.
Thinking of his head coach today after meeting the press?
Yeah, so talk not thrilled with his team, and they're not having a lot of fun in Vancouver these days. Did we end up getting a... so Tocchet held a presser today and I guess voiced some of that frustration about how it's going in Vancouver. Do we have?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's check out what Tocchet had to say.
Well, what did Tom Brady say? If you want to have fun, go to Disneyland. Winning's fun. Competing's fun. Listen, if you compete and you lose and you're competing and you're part of the process, yeah, you should smile and feel good about yourself. But I'm not sure we're happy with the process. That's why you got some frowns and people aren't happy. You shouldn't be happy. And I love that line. Go to Disneyland if you want to have fun. You know, we're in the business of winning, but saying that, it's the process of it, and I don't think we've liked our process. It's been a roller coaster ride all year.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to Disneyland, aren't you, soon?
Take the kids and never be in debt till I'm 60.
How are you? You're Joe Exotic. You're never going to financially recover from that.
Hey, you'll never play for talk, I can tell you that.
No, I'm dreading. Anyway, I haven't heard from anyone, any parent who says, if you want to have fun, go to Disneyland. That doesn't sound like work. But to his point, I guess the point he's making is he doesn't think they're working because he says competing is fun and they don't seem to be having fun. So that means they're not competing. It just seems like when it rains, it pours. When things can go wrong, it just... The season snowballs in whatever direction. And I've written about this. I truly believe in the season-long snowball. Last year, the Canucks had every good thing built to the next good thing. And this year, it is coming unraveled. So I can't blame the coach for feeling like a little frustrated here.
But Vancouver Canucks fans will be, if this thing goes sour and they miss the playoffs, this will all stem on JT Miller and Pettersson
Right. When this reared its ugly head, it became on the team to sort it out. And not only did it not get sorted out, it's dragged on now for months, maybe, to the detriment of the team, who is a point behind the Calgary Flames, who were not trying to make playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously a lot goes into that, but...
So we had Dhaliwal.
I think they'll wear it for sure.
We had Dhaliwal on Monday, and he was talking about his contract and, like, him just, couldn't you just see him being like, I'm good, man. Like, TNT pays well, too. I'd go there and then come back and find another job when one opens.
You're
like, this is a nightmare. It's every day where it's just.
You just hope you remove one element and it gets
it's
better.
Like, open to another door. It's another horror waiting for you. Like, it's just, it's not been good.
It's not been good. So. I just don't know what he can do as a coach until this gets sorted out. So do you think it's at the point, Kip, where you're better off not getting full value on a return to make the move sooner? Or do you think it's like you can't lose a trade here for a great player?
I would be trying everything in my power to fix it first. I wouldn't give up on it, and it would scare the heck out of me to let JT Miller walk out the door and get a minimal return, watch him go help the Rangers or New Jersey and go, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know exactly what he's going to look like when he goes to another team and he's motivated.
Reinvigorated.
Right? We've seen him at his best. He's going somewhere, chip on his shoulder, how it didn't work out there, ready to prove everybody that it wasn't all him, you know. You know how that's going to look.
Yeah. I've been giving praise to Harmon Dahl lately because he wrote something I really liked about Miller and said that in his years with Vancouver, he found him to be an amplifier. And so that can be for the good and the bad. So when your team is doing well and you start to get that swagger and he brings that out of your team and blows it up and amplifies that energy, but it's the same for the negatives.
You know how I felt about Miller, like, even last year. Like, he won me over.
You loved him.
Won me over.
Yeah.
Right? And everything that you had heard about him prior to going to Vancouver, in New York, and then Tampa Bay, he seemed to have straightened out. Mm-hmm. And maturity or whatever. Like, it just seemed like the light switch went off where this guy was now a true player, and he was hitting all the high notes.
He's playing D.
And then, like, I don't know when, but as soon as it got public a little bit, you're like, now I'm starting to hear the stuff about him that you heard in New York and Tampa.
This is maturity. To me, it's like, if you're an amplifier, you don't have the ability to step back, to zoom out, to be a leader and say, things are going poorly. I need to help raise the guys up in the other direction. We're getting too high here. Let's pull it back down. You're just kind of, you know, going with it. And so if that was criticism of him before he found Vancouver and that success, it doesn't seem fixed to me. It still seems like someone who is tied to the success of what's going on around him rather than the cause of it.
I got to think the Calgary Flames right now, who hold one of the two playoff spots in the West.
They're the good vibes team.
I think they're just going.
It's the opposite of the Canucks.
Yeah.
It's like winning your round and waiting for the next two teams.
While they're beating each other
beating
up.
Beating the crap out of each other. And you're saying, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like Calgary's
Canucks are just punching themselves in the face every day, and they're just like, whoa,
the Calgary Flames are sitting there going,
go.
Don't trade him. Don't trade him. Just keep.
He's too good to trade.
Just keep beating the crap out of each other.
That's true.
For sure. You love what's going on there.
I feel bad. We don't talk about the Flames nearly enough. We're on in Calgary. Like, what are they going to do?
They're going to be in a tough spot. They lost Walker Duehr on waivers, which I don't love. He's a pretty good player.
Nothing. They do nothing.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Nothing.
They're going to be like, God, this is all gravy. You know, like, we didn't anticipate being where we are. We're having success. Our veterans have been good. Young kids are coming along. Let's just get in some good games and call it a win of a season. I don't think they need to do anything. They're not going to win the cup. They're not going to pick in the lottery. They might as well be competitive and get some games that matter under their belt.
You're finding ways for Jonathan Huberdeau to help. Kadri's still... Kadri, Blake Coleman, like, and your young kids are coming along. Like,
they don't have a ton of UFAs. Like,
Anderson's got another year. So, like,
4 points behind the Kings for third.
Nothing. You do nothing.
Okay.
You keep putting a shovel in the ground and keep building your new arena.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like that. And I've said since day one, they just work. And they're getting great goaltending. We know Val Laquette loves Dustin Wolf.
And you start pushing him for best rookie in the league. Yeah, that's what you do.
The Calder, make that happen.
3 first-round picks this year for the Calgary Flames. They have their own. They have Florida's, and they have, I guess, New Jersey's from the Markstrom deal. And they also have 2 next year as well. They have Vegas's two second-rounders this year. They're stocked up pretty good. So...
You know, they're not far off being Washington, that if they bought a couple of players, it's like, God, I mean, it feels like anyone could win.
And there is, so hold on a second here. There's a condition on their first that they have this year. If Calgary's 2024 first round is between the 20 and 32, Montreal can take that pick instead.
Okay.
So there you go. Anyways.
So I did mention that I watched Washington beat the Edmonton Oilers.
You did.
And, like, it's just not going away.
Logan Thompson.
So he was not happy, I guess. Someone asked him about, someone specifically asked him about Team Canada reaching out to him?
He was on the Fan Hockey Show today with Marchese and Fuda, and basically said that they never reached out.
They didn't call him. Yeah. Which is crazy because they made a lot of calls, the guys who were close, and I believe.
Yeah, but they also made calls to guys that.
Courtesy calls.
Yeah, I know, but there were courtesy calls to guys deeper, more seasoned, like Tavares and Stamkos, and I'm not sure Logan Thompson falls into that category.
But don't you think a guy with the best numbers at the position probably should get an explanation for why he wasn't chosen, or no?
Yeah, maybe just send him an email, maybe. attacks.
Page him. You know,
I'm all right with it.
But I got to tell you, Kip, there are a lot of Canadian hockey fans who are perturbed by Logan Thompson's success.
Can I read you?
Listen, he could still end up in the Olympics.
Can I read you a tweet? This is from Steven Ellis. Since Canada's roster was announced for the Four Nations faceoff, Logan Thompson has posted a 12-1-1 record.
I know. He's having a great year.
With a 938 save percentage and 18 goals saved above expected. Only Hellebuck has more wins. Thompson is first in everything else.
It's pretty good.
First.
Yeah.
It's like I watched Montembeau on Saturday night. It's like they, I mean, I guess he was pretty good last night, but geez.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think.
Go ahead.
Why? Why do you think he wasn't chosen? Indeed.
I don't know. He's good. He's really good. And he's not a fan of nachos either last night.
No, that was actually very funny. But there has to be something. And there's a reason they chose Aiden Hill and Sam Montembeau, perhaps.
Or, I mean, there's got
relationships to play into it.
I mean, so if you're looking around here, Cassidy is on the bench. He's an assistant coach with John Cooper.
Aiden Hill is probably the presumed starter when it was chosen.
Correct.
Was his teammate.
Like, if you're deducting here, there's obviously something there.
Some friction.
But you're trying to win a hockey tournament here. He's just been way better than any of the Canadian goalies.
A lot of that has happened since. He wasn't the runaway best in the league.
But he should have been on it at that time, too.
They needed the Bobby Bourne speech. Clearly, we don't get along here. So let's just try to make the best of it and win for our country.
But I do wonder, then, if this damages relationships, if he is the best guy heading into the Olympics, if he's offended at being left off, or how that works. But I do get the impression that there is a reason he wasn't selected, and it wasn't just thinking everyone else is better.
You know what Binnington's save percentage is this year? 898. Do you know what Aiden Hill's save percentage is? 901.
In saying all of this for Logan Thompson, there's still a lot of people that think, like, midnight's going to strike on the Washington Capitals.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're one of them.
Really?
I have been thinking that would happen at some point, but there's the sample gets big enough to go, I misread this team. They're better than I thought. And I'll wear that. I'll say they are better than I thought. But yeah, I mean, one of those teams you look at the lineup and try to squint and go,
they're big,
but they're deer. Their top pair, Sandin, Carlson. You got Chychrun, who's been defensively flawed with PDR.
Carlson is sneaky good and very underrated.
Okay, that's totally fine. Agree. The U.S. didn't want him on their team. They don't think he's one of the six bestie in their country.
I know. And Washington's real happy about that.
Dylan Strome is a top-line center with Connor McMichael and 39-year-old Ovi.
McMichael is sneaky good, too.
I know, and this Protas is good, too, but Dubois turned into a pumpkin and plenty of times.
Tom Wilson going down the ice.
Radish, Eller, Frank, Duhaime.
I watched that game last night. They looked, like, I've watched them a lot of times this year.
Carberry's good.
Hey.
They just look good, except for Ovi, who's dogging it up and down the ice every game.
Ovi looked incredibly slow last night.
Yeah, he looks like their worst player.
And he's out there for 2 minutes, every 2 minutes on the power play. Was there an empty net last night? How did he not score?
I don't know. Drives me nuts. Anyways.
I wonder what he's going to be like if they go April, May.
Yeah.
Like,
well, this is the thing. Like, how's Ovi look like through several playoff rounds?
Yeah.
Think this is a legit contender. And then you're leaning on McMichael and Protas and Dubois in your top six. Like, fine. Good team.
Think they're good.
Being well coached, getting great goaltending. Great goaltending.
The best in the league. Almost like they should be playing for Canada.
Anybody that gets out of the East in that Atlantic division goes straight to the favorite to come out and represent.
Out of the Atlantic? East.
Yes.
You think, over the top Metro teams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt in my mind.
You know, Florida's probably still going to Florida it up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the idea, though, as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, if you're potentially getting past the first round, God forbid, that you're going to have to play one of Tampa or Florida as opposed to both.
Last night, the Predators came back from down 4 goals, which is the first time they've done that. Sammy, you said they were 0-173.
Yes.
I know David Amber is in a survivor pool, and he picked Nashville last night.
Oh, my God.
So he witnessed it. Electric. On his behalf. Got the comeback. Props to him. Kaprizov, Spurgeon could return Thursday versus Utah. Help coming for the Wild.
They've held their head above water.
Yeah.
Our thanks to Jody Shelley, who does a terrific job on Sportsnet, or Fox, sorry, Ohio. 4 games on tap. Also, Emily Kaplan from ESPN, of course. I got to mention that. 4 games on tap tonight, including a signature one here on Sportsnet. Our national coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Columbus versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We're back again tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.